So, Yost, you must have seen that the bird is everywhere now. As soon as people saw the bird, they went crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very funny thing that is happening right now. For me, it stands for my childhood. It stands for being open. It has a lot of meaning. It's funny that it makes people feel some way.
Who is the bird?
One of my best friends. Api Musa Abdullahi. Ops on Army, a very big TikTok star in the Netherlands, very great actor, comedian on the rise. I feel honored to share the stage with my friends.
So when you texted and went, I've got an idea for you, I'm going to put you in a big bird costume, what did they say?
This is his thing. On his social media, he's always in suits. And he I would say he doesn't know the word shame. So I was always telling him years ago already, you should buy a really a personalized suit. And at some point the coin flipped. I was like, no, I have to buy that for you. And I was just testing it out, like, would you be down to do it? He was like, this makes it more iconic. He told me, imagine having kids. Oh, your dad was in Eurovision. No, your dad was in Eurovision in a bird suit. So
done, sorted. He's got the t-shirt. He is there. Yost Klein, representing the Netherlands. We're going to find out all about you and Europapa. This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. Yost, how are you enjoying your time here at Eurovision?
I'm not so good at enjoying. I'm a full-blown workaholic.
I get the sense of that.
Yeah. It all starts with marketing, but it ends with a real emotion. I think it's very, like, I feel honored to represent my country, to be on this stage, hopefully in a few days. it's really, really difficult because the iceberg I'm putting out there is at the top, very funny and very childlike, but my traumas come from my childhood.
Well, this is where I wanted to get into your mind, because I'm sure if you opened it up, there's a lot going on in there, right? And there's a lot going on the stage, and there must be a lot going on inside that brain.
Yes, almost way too much. I'm trying to meditate as much as possible. I brought a jumping rope, skippy rope. How do you say it?
Yeah, skipping rope.
Yeah, I have to move. I have to move my body. A lot of crying, a lot of talking. I am very excited, but it's also very it's just very emotional. I miss my parents. it's the song is an homage to my dad, but also to my mom. I can't forget her. And it's just very. It's weird to say this out loud because a lot of people know only the funny side of the song. And I hope I can motivate people to look a bit further, to dive into and maybe some people will find some recognition or find something in my story that hopefully resembles what they maybe been through or they can feel also something. For me it's very important to also show the emotional side.
What do you think your dad would have thought of this performance?
Very cool and funny. I think he would laugh really hard. my son idiot, but end with love. And that's why I also don't want to forget my mom. I think she would give me a big hug, and that's something I hope.
This song is a tribute. Yeah. That's probably the best way of describing what this song is. It's a tribute to your dad in the most bizarre way possible in terms of free movement of people throughout Europe.
To me, the whole build-up of the show and the song is me giving you a massage to make you ready for the ending. So for me, I need crazy stuff because I love it, but I also want everybody to look and feel some type of way, and I think then I can really tell something at the end. So it's really difficult for me the last few days to show stuff of my rehearsals and to give away parts of it, because I've really built a full construction, a full roller coaster, right? Same with theme parks. You're not going to jump out the roller coaster or show. You know what I mean? It's a ride, and I just can't wait for people to see and I hopefully hear my story in the second semifinal.
So all your visuals are all from your brain?
Yeah, yeah. I normally I'll make all my music videos myself. I'm an editor myself. I had some help from some great friends. Shout out to Leon and Bruno. Some amazing people. And I've made a lot of stuff on my iPad for this show as well. And that's also my DNA as an artist. Vocally, I might not be a Celine Dion, but I am a Scatman John. So I am Weird Al Yankovic. I'm more on that spectrum. But then I found a way. It's almost Weird Al Yankovic and Stromae combined. I found a way to not only be sad all the time, and I'm not covering it up, but I found some portals to use. I found some objects and things to use and then hit you in the feelings, I hope.
So you can have a rave first and then get the feelings.
Or even at the same time.
Oh yeah, I suppose.
Even yesterday I was crying and doing the skippy rope. Some people were probably looking at me like, what was this guy doing outside the hotel? And it felt so good. Maybe just my years of therapy that taught me this, but...
No, you know what? I'm thinking, like, if you think about Robin's Dancing on My Own or any song that's crying at the discotheque, that's the whole point, isn't it? Yeah. It's the meeting of both ends of the spectrum to actually make something a little bit beautiful.
Yeah, but and it's also the same with the iceberg concept. Behind every first emotion is the real emotion, is how I look at it. So sometimes I'm very angry, but I'm actually very sad. And it doesn't mean that behind every laugh there's a tear, but they could exist at the same time. It shouldn't be just in one square. You cannot just put one label onto something. Everything can be everything at the same time. Like it almost becomes too wavy, but yin and yang it makes one thing. It's not two separate things. You know, the fish in the pond, that makes the whole image.
It's the perfect blend. It's everything mixed together in the perfect way. Did you make the call to Eurovision, or did Eurovision in the Netherlands make the call to you?
No. For years, I've been trying to get into the the corporate system. I never know how to email, because I do all my music just with my producer Tanto Beats and with my manager. This is us. We don't have a label. It's just us, and I like to create. I would till the day I die. I want to create, and we found ways to do that. And my shows got bigger. Everything got bigger. And at some point last year, I had a German number one hit, whilst I don't speak German. So I was like, how can I use this energy and put it towards something that I dreamed of? Because to be honest, as a kid, I never dreamed of a number one in Germany. I feel very honored and blessed. But that was just like, that's nice. But now what? Now I am German artist? No, I'm me. And what do I want? And I was just thinking about my inner child. Like, what can be my new step, my new beginning? And even a bird stands for a new beginning. So it all makes sense to me. And I get that not everybody understands me at the first glimpse. But that's why I say I invite you to look deeper if you want to.
So you basically looked at Eurovision and thought, I want to do that. I want to manifest it. I want to make it happen. Yeah. And you did.
Yeah, but especially looking when my parents were still alive on the couch, making funny remarks about all the entries, telling them, one day I will be there. But fully as a joke.
So you watched Eurovision with your parents?
Yeah, not always. I'm not the biggest. I'm not part of now I am part of the fan community, but I wasn't the biggest fan. But it's just one of those things that I remember from my childhood. And it's really weird. 26 now. It's 14 years ago that I lost my parents. I have to keep them alive somehow. And they're slowly drifting away. And Eurovision is one of those pinnacles of my childhood where it's just a big name. And sorry, I'm starting to cry. That's just it. You know what? Everybody knows Eurovision is big, but for me, I don't have a lot of stuff that I remember from my childhood that was nice. This was one of the nice things. Even though silly it might have been, but something like Lordi as a kid, I was like, whoa, what? This is scare actors at a theme park combined with rock and blah, blah, blah. They put all this effort, they're gigantic people on the stage. How is this? What's this? As a kid, almost like it motivates me fully to look into stuff. And now I see myself and I hope that I have maybe a little bit of the same effect that I can. With my team, we just keep saying we do it for the kids. Because that's what I do it for my inner child, but I also do it for the kids now. And even that is why the bird is there. But that's why I'm also with my friends on the stage, because the other synthesized player is also my best friend. These are these are real people. I had no ambition to be only showman. I am the show, and I am man, but I'm not here to, I don't know, my label is not telling me to do anything because I am my label.
Going back to the kid thing, have you been shown videos of children dancing to You're a Papa since it came out and going crazy for it?
Yeah, first 2 weeks, I was like, what? Huh? Did we make Baby Shark? I'm like, what happened?
Sequel.
Yeah, but now looking at it, I feel honored. I did it for my inner child, and now all the actual kids, they love it and they annoy the parents with it. So it's the same effect that Scatman John actually had back then. It's the same effect where somebody's telling their real story, but in a unique way, I hope, or in a different way than normally. All respect to the sad ballads that Eurovision is known for, but yeah, I wasn't raised that way. I love playing with words. I don't know. I love up-tempo music. I personally can't listen to a slow song because my brain is always thinking of 20 things. So I need a fast beat to calm me down.
So if we were to list all of the dishes, the national dishes in your song, which would be the one that you would order as a takeaway tonight?
Just the chips of give the fish to the bird.
Yeah, he's a fish man.
Yeah, he loves.
You're the chips.
Yeah, no, yeah, sharing is better than multiplying.
And where in Europe have you yet to go that you would love to go?
I got a lot of love from Poland recently. I'm curious how the people over there are and how that looks. I have no idea. But also when at pre-party in Stockholm, really gave me a lot of love from the Swedish people. So even where I'm at right now, I'm like, this might be a cool place to discover also musically even more.
Like maybe there's already plans in your mind about where you're going to gig after this, like where you're going to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you've got like the next chapter to come. This is like resetting a chapter, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I keep on repeating it, but new beginning. The same way in the video I burned a picture of my parents. It's not because I hate them, and it was also not the real picture. You know, we just copied it.
thank goodness.
Yeah, but it all resembles a new beginning. You need to. I'm even learning every day right now. I need to let go of all control to be in control.
If there, and I know you said that you don't know all the entries from years gone by, but if you did have a Eurovision entry that you would ever cover, what would it be? Would it be Lordi?
Yeah, that would be the coolest, to put that in like a hardcore up-tempo jacket. That would be very cool.
And I just wonder, we've got two raves. We've got the rave moment in your song. We've got the rave moment in Austria. I wonder, somebody somewhere has probably melted those two together as well. Like, it feels very ravey this year, which is nice.
Yeah. I did see an interview that she's never been to a rave. Yeah. So with all respect, I was like, oh, that's... Oh, that makes it art. But yeah, the feel like a harder beat gives me a reason to also let go in the moment, to be more in the moment. And I just like it. I like it a bit harder, and I like it a bit more rough. And that's also the Dutch culture I'm bringing. Like this is for me an honor. This is as growing up with happy hardcore, I was always wondering, why is this not on the stage? Yeah, it's different, but that's something good.
And it is the year as well of the pointy shoulders.
Yeah.
There's Luna from Poland. There's Bessa from Albania. There's you with your blue ones. It's definitely circles on stage and pointy shoulders.
Yeah. That's coincidence. I had this idea.
It's fashion, darling.
Yeah, I had a prototype last year at my own shows. And some people were like, that's too devilish. So, and then I made it more child-friendly. And then I ended up with this suit on my iPad. And then ask some nice people to actually make it for me.
Where'd you keep it to make sure it's safe?
We have a lot.
Oh, you have a lot of the suits? Yeah. How many?
Now 20.
20?
Yeah, this is... sorry, Ava. Sorry, you can stop now. Sorry.
20 suits. 20 of the blue suits. One for every day of the week. No, there's more.
Because it gets a bit... I stink quickly. I sweat a lot. So it's...
Same.
It's better to have multiple.
Joost Klein, You're a Papa, representing the Netherlands. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for this good talk. I if you're listening to this, I hope you have a nice day.
Please welcome Zachariah and Michael, Electric Fields, representing Australia, to the podcast. How are you guys?
Really good, thank you. Centered.
Centered is good. I like centered.
Yeah, feeling wonderful. The energy here, the hotel, there's 17 countries at this hotel. Absolutely electric and very beautiful, very open.
My surname is Holden, and you've just been schooling me in the fact that that is a very sturdy, basic family car in Australia.
Baby seats, everything. Yes. Just slow.
They say, oh, no, good day, mate. Jump in the back of the Holden. Chuck the kids in the back of the ute. We're off to the royal show.
Get away from my car.
Yeah, get away from my car. Okay, that's a vocal warm-up.
Theatre one.
Yeah, so I am literally like a car.
Well, you know, you've got a lot of grunt and a lot of... Yeah, you can steer us in the right direction. Come on, Steve.
There we go. Steer you in the right direction. I should put that. Let's put the brakes on this conversation. There we go. We did it. Very quickly, before we talk anything about the song, do you think that Janet Jackson heard you name check her in your song because she's just announced a world tour?
Don't. I really hope so. Sending that out there, manifest.
Yes.
Her and senses
I believe that's the way love goes. So,
if only. Maybe you'll be together again.
Maybe it'll be like, you know, one of those drag race episodes at the grand final where they go, we've got a message from someone, and Jed will be like, hello, Michael and Zachariah. Just want to say I really appreciate. Yeah, you know how it goes. Yeah.
I know what you mean. She looks amazing, but you are like massive fans of her, right?
Yes, absolutely. We love her. She did wonders for just the music industry. Like, just left her stamp on the world, and just she is one of the important fabrics in pop culture and in music. There wouldn't be no Beyonce if it wasn't for Janet.
Trailblazer.
Mm-hmm. Very much that.
Yeah, we all kind of, all of the music elders that come before us, we learn from each other and we grow from each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think Eurovision's one of those places where it's had such an impact, not just inside Eurovision, not just inside Europe. The artists from this contest change the world. They go on and they spread seeds all around the globe. Mm-hmm. You know, we all stand on their shoulders. They're giants, but they're also planets like the Janet.
I see what you're doing there.
Do you want to do the lyric that we were going? So
obviously you've got escape with us to the planets, to the Fleetwood Macs and the Janets. But we also have, okay, now I've got to get this right. Escape with us to the planets, the Celine Dion's and the Abbas.
Oh, hey. I love it. I love it so much. Obviously, it's both Eurovision icons, Queen Celine Dion. I went to see her once, and it was literally one of the best gigs I've ever been to. And you are spreading your love and your message. You're connecting down the camera. You are doing your thing. And I want to say the colors in your performance are just joy. Do you know what I mean?
Those colours, Zachariah painted those. That's a painting that Zachariah did with her own hands.
Ah, no way. So a new painting, an old painting?
This is because I did an exhibition for one of my shows that are coming up in next month and back in Australia. And I did that last year. And I was like, whoa, may as well just chuck it in and just show versatility. And the sound of where I painted that from, and its meaning, having it represent a place where I come from, of the grandparents and the grandchildren working together and having that innocence relationship on the stage with us, as well as going in with a very deep song like One Mil Kali.
One Mil Kali is actually the twin sibling of 2000 and whatever. We wrote them at the same time.
Oh, did you? I didn't know that.
We wrote them at the same time. We wrote them both for Eurovision. And that I Stand in the Eye of the Spiral is not just about, you know, as an individual standing inside the collective in the face of the vast universe. It's every single Eurovision singer standing center stage on the Eurovision stage. That is the Eye of the Spiral.
That's not the only one either. Like, we after those two were created, we then wrote a whole catalogue of other songs as well. So they just keep popping. We just breed.
You must have like a whole like treasure box of songs like hidden away that you can just dip into, pick out, throw out. There we go. Here's another one, guys.
We actually do. And we've been performing as Electric Fields for about 8 years, but we don't even have an album yet. We don't have a first album. We've got one EP and some singles. One Milkali is the first kind of part of this album that we're putting together. And that back catalogue does have a lot of colours in there. And in this coming year, as we do paint our album up, we will be drawing from that box, but also using our experience here at Eurovision, hoping to collaborate with some of the other artists, like we did with Kano.
Kano, yeah.
Because there's the storytelling here and all of the languages and cultures here are so beautiful and so deep that it's very up our alley. Mm-hmm. And we're into it.
We're good at it. We even doing the collaboration with Kano, we just love that room. And we've just been seeding a lot of the ideas with the other contestants. And I think Ukraine's down, Switzerland's down. Like, I think they're going to want to work with us, so it's exciting.
We want to work with
them. Poland Electric, what did you call it?
Luna. Luna Fields.
Can you give a shout out to the other people on stage?
And Fred is the Yidaki player. AJ, shout out. Simi Vuata, shout out. And Brendan, shout out. And Michael Ross, shout out.
Do you remember the actual date that you two met? The actual date?
Oh, God.
I definitely remember the house. It was in the Adelaide Hills. Where,
what date, though?
And there were bushes out the back and koalas in the trees.
Were you intro'd by somebody?
Shout out to Robin Hable, yes.
Well, we actually met 5 years before we started Electric Fields. So we met, Zachariah was only 18. Z was very shy, actually. She was still just getting to grow into herself. And it was 5 years later that Z called me up and we started writing music together. And that was 8 years ago. So we've actually known each other for about 13 years, I think. Yeah. But Electric Fields Energy is about 8 years old.
The baby is.
Is Michael the only person that's allowed to call you Z?
No, everyone calls me Z. Okay.
Yeah. But I do call Z. But I do call Z Mala.
Do you want licensing?
Yeah, give me the permission and then I can call you Z.
Knighted.
I've been anointed to call you Z.
No, but I will say I do call Zachariah Mala or Malanpa, yep. Which is Anangor Pijajada Yankunjada language for younger sibling.
And that's unisex. Mala can be a young boy or a late brother or a little sister.
Yes,
that's gorgeous.
I call Michael Jojo is the oldest brother, so he's my older sibling.
Oh, it's so cute. I love it. Also, the words are so romantic.
Yes. Oh, it's such a beautiful language. Pijandara Yankunjara language, it's just the way that the tongue is used. I get fascinated by it too. Like, even we're in Sweden here, like the way the tongue movement is, like Arabic language, it's in beautiful Mandarin. Have you taken notice how, like,
can you speak some Yankunjara for?
Eurovision.
Z was saying
my appointment
that
for the colon cleanse. No, just intro. Just saying hello. How are you? We're talking about Eurovision.
Finally, we started with Janet, so I think we should end with Fleetwood Mac. What is your favourite Fleetwood Mac song of all time?
I wanna be with you everywhere.
Well, that one. Yeah.
I'll give you mine.
Yes.
Landslide.
Oh. Yeah.
Oriannon as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Stevie Nicks, man. That voice. Mm.
Stevie
and
Nicks.
That presence, you know. I might channel that because I can do that now because she's shouted in the song. So I might do a little bit of
a little bit of Stevie flow.
Bringing it, I put a spell on you vibe.
Yeah, you need something like very flowy. Can I just say your dress outfit is incredible?
Thank you. I made it with my beautiful darling friends. What's her name?
Kaya.
Why was I going to call her a different name? Kaya, I love you. You can do what you need to do to me in the room later.
I love that all part of your performance is you all the way through.
I designed my jumpsuit and Zachariah painted the painting that comes alive on the stage. We wrote the song together. This is our hearts woven together. We love human connection and it's what keeps us sane. It's what keeps our jugs full.
Electric Fields, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Steve.
Thank you.
So it's a big hello to the podcast, to Kova from Aviz Minust, and it is Marco from Pull Up representing Estonia. I apologize in advance about my Estonian. I hope you don't mind.
We don't.
I'm going to try the name of the song, but please, is that okay? Do you mind?
Yes, it is.
Of course.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Can you see already? I've gone a bit sweaty because this is nervous. So, Nendest na kuti kumedest iti mikul medagi.
Yeah.
Very good. You said T, but it's there.
There. So what would that be out of 10? Maybe 7
strong,
out of 10?
Strong 7, strong 8. Strong 8. 7, weak 8, something
like that. I like that. A weak 8. I'll take the weak 8, if that's all right. Yeah.
But you never got the teacher, yeah? You're just self-learning, so that's, I would say, 9 even.
Oh. Yeah. Well, if you put in that context, then yeah, maybe week 9.
A week 9.
A super week 9.
A super 8, a week 9. It is the longest Eurovision song title in history, we believe.
Yeah, I've heard it.
It's like we should give you some kind of award for this, you know?
We hope so.
Yeah, a printed out diploma would be nice, maybe, you know, yeah.
I'll have them sort it out for you
and
frame it as well.
Yeah, like six of them, so every one of us gets one.
We can. Obviously, there's only two of you here at the moment, but this is the... I'm enjoying this because it's one of each. It's one from each band. When did this beautiful collaboration begin?
About a year ago, no? No, more than a year ago. Last winter. Last winter, yeah. It was even further back. I think it was 2019 when I phoned you up and said that maybe we could do something together. It was after the Estonian Music Awards. And they did this song called TV on the Street, which haunted us for like fucking 2 weeks or so. So yeah, I ringed him up, but like maybe we could do something together, some gigs or something, like see where it takes us. And we did 2 gigs. Then we were pretty sad that we couldn't maybe hang out anymore because the gigs were over. And then we decided that, let's bring instruments, let's bring recording gear, and let's see if we have something in common outside of the gigs as well.
So you made the first approach.
Yeah, I was really surprised to get this call from Viis Miinust with this kind of idea. Let's do a concert together. We normally don't do that many collaborations with Pull Up. We just play 2 of us and... But that was so unexpected, surreal, a little bit absurd even. So we were intrigued. And then it turned out that we are really, these are really very, very nice guys.
and you got on. That's a good, you know, you became friends.
From the get-go, I think, same humor, same everything. So.
Was there a big night involved as well? Was there a party night?
I'll let Marco answer that.
We started very seriously, like, because I think it was like we thought that we have to look like very partying people. So the first meeting, first rehearsal, Ramo opened the beers and offered to everybody. But Viis Miinust, I think they tried to be looking like very extra professional. So so they made it very, very precisely like, okay, now we're going to rehearse this song, now that song, now the third one. Because the first collaboration was just to do a concert together, but not just 2 bands performing separately, but performing together, playing each other's song like mashup style. So, and these songs, our songs with their lyrics, their vocals, and their songs with our input, they started to sound very, very cool. So that's where we got this confidence that we need to do something more. And that's when the first band camp and the first song that we created at the band camp, we were so excited that maybe we should try it at the Eurovision contest. So that's how it started.
it wasn't a simple journey because you have to win your national final first. But
that was easy.
Yeah, well, you won it by a mile.
Yeah. Well, ooh. Yes, but if we... I think I had quite sleepless nights when we qualified to the finals, Estonian finals, and we as Puuloop and they as Viis Miinust, they have their own brand, people know us, we have all our audiences, and now we are going to jump to something completely different, with Eurovision and to do it together with Viis Miinust, a quite different soundscape. And it took some time to get me like really to cool down and understand that it's actually okay to develop a little bit and to change the styles and to jump into the unknown waters.
Yeah, a bit of fear. It's good to have a bit of fear every now and then.
Yeah, know? Yeah, it is. Yeah. So and then we were really happy to see that the song got the same type of feedback that we felt it. It actually deserves. So people are dancing for it in the clubs, and children in kindergartens are singing it. And
do the kids know the dance as well?
Oh yeah, everybody knows the dance these days.
The dance is yours, isn't it, Marco? Is that right?
It is partly right, but we like to say that it comes from the traditional dance from Vormsi Island, which is actually an island in Estonia where Estonian Swedes used to live, and they played the same instrument that we use here, talharpa. The history of the dance goes very, very far.
Yeah, but this is nice to know that it's not just a dance made for Eurovision. This is something that exists in real life. And you've got to look. I love the fact that you look at all the countries, and we've got Cyprus doing their choreography. We've got Georgia. We've got Malta. But then we've got six lads doing perfect choreography in sync on the Eurovision stage. It's a sight to behold.
Nice, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Is it like, have you ever done that kind of choreo in your shows before?
No, we are a band. Our band is just, you know, we're having a laugh.
Yeah,
we're,
I know.
Giggling through our careers. So, but yeah, we're pretty much having a laugh here as well.
I think that's a good attitude to have though, when you're here, to enjoy it.
Yeah, we're taking it like professionally, but we're not taking it too seriously. You know, behind all of this, we really take the show and the stage show and our presence pretty seriously.
Would you say that Eurovision is out of your comfort zone?
I wouldn't say it's out of a comfort zone. I don't think that anything is out of our comfort zone because, you know, as I said before, we're whatever we do, we are having a laugh while doing it. So I don't think this is really out of our comfort zone. If something is out of our comfort zone, we probably in 2 minutes we make it into our comfort zone. So we turn, like, maybe you've seen some of the clips that we've done, some TikToks that they want us to do, when we kind of take the medium and make it our own.
So singing in the shower.
Yeah.
Did you see the clip?
Yes, I did. Well, it's funny, but you should say, did you see it? Because I saw it in real life today, because I was doing an interview and I came out into the corridor and I was confronted, you wouldn't have seen me, but I was confronted by six Estonian men with all their tops off. And I was like, okay, this is ingrained into my eyes
and
now.
And four of them pretty overweight. the bears of Estonia are out, so yeah.
Estonia has quite a good sauna culture though, doesn't it? A sauna culture.
Yeah, we do. Actually, the first time we recorded together for this project that we now have out, I think we went to the sauna like 6 or 5 times in one night or so. If you go back like 100 years ago, then pretty much everything happened in the sauna. Women gave birth in the sauna. When people died, they got washed in the sauna. Like so life started and ended in the sauna. So the sauna is pretty much the most important place in a farm or in a house.
Well, I like the fact that that's where you made sure as soon as you started this collaboration that you had that sauna bond.
Yeah, you know? I mean, sauna has this ritualic meaning as well. Like if you become mates with somebody, the first thing you do is, well, let's hop into the sauna and let's have a chat in the sauna. Or so, you know, that it kind of bonds people, yeah. Because everyone's naked, everyone's their true self. And if you go to the sauna, then everybody's honest.
I like our sauna chat. That's good. We've learned a lot about sauna.
I'm getting sweating.
Just thinking of it. Do you both have a Eurovision memory from watching it in the past?
Yeah, I do. My first memory of Eurovision was the year when Estonia won. And I'm born in 88, so Estonia
2001.
Won 2001. Yeah, 2001.
2001, yeah. So I was
12 years old.
Yeah.
And my mom was having champagne, and she thought that maybe, you know, it's the right time to introduce me to champagne as well. Like... or the vice versa, to introduce champagne to me as well, like, and you know, get that responsible drinking thing going on from the very get-go. So she gave me two glasses. I ended up breaking one of the glasses, and and Estonia won. So at the same night, two brilliant things happened. I got my first taste of champagne, and Estonia won the Eurovision.
I love it. Marco Kova, thank you so much for joining us. Keep having fun here at Eurovision. Great to talk to you.
Yeah,
thank you.
To you as well.